Chris, what's the biggest frustrations of estate agents and letting agents in 2018-2019?
I think the biggest frustration, Christopher, is that estate agents don't understand why they're not getting the instruction. You know, they see the instruction go to a competitor, and they really can't understand it, so they put the blame on higher valuation, lower fee, and the actual reason is that they didn't, or the vendor didn't like them enough. What they said wasn't attractive enough. It's totally down to the estate agent. It's nothing to do with the valuation, the price, and people will disagree with that. I'm sure they will.
That's quite hard hitting.
It is, yeah, and you know, regardless of the price or regardless of the fee, if the people like you enough, they will give you the business.
That's quite hard hitting. So how do you get someone to like you more, which is a huge human need anyway?
Okay, well, you can't do it instantly, and that's the problem. I mean, the frustration that we started off with comes from high expectations, and the expectation is I'm going in there totally naked, figuratively speaking, going in there naked, expecting to convince and convert within an hour, and it's unrealistic. And that is where the frustration comes from a high expectation of what you're going to get out of that appraisal. If you're going in there just saying, okay, it's a valuation, this is our fee, this is our service, etc., 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 can we do it? Let's have a close, trial close. It's not going to work, and it deserves to lose. The poor vendor will eventually choose some estate agent because they've got to choose someone. But if every estate agent is doing that, then there's no differentiating point there.
So what do they have to do? Almost do a really good job before the valuation? Once the valuation's been booked, go around, knock on the door? Is that going to help, or does it have to be further?
Don't talk to me about knocking on doors.
Okay.
No, I mean, I think Richard Rawlins has got it right. I think he started off with a pre-pack, pushing it through the vendor's door basically and saying this is what we do, so at least they've got some idea. But I think that, you know, the key to it all is that the estate agent has to develop the personality and the reputation within the area. I mean, if I live in Solihull, the top three agents in Solihull, if they came knocking on my, if I rang them up to come and value my house, I wouldn't know anything about them other than what, you know, I do know, which isn't much. I wouldn't know anything about them personally. There's two other estate agents that I've talked to in an interview on a podcast. One is Simon Burt, great estate agent in Solihull. The other is Melvin Daines, who's an industry legend. And those two guys have spent an hour talking to me about everything except house valuation, their fees or whatever. I know more about those businesses than anything. John Shepherd, Hunters, Exact, all the others. I wouldn't know the first thing about them.
Estate agents are like cookie cutters. That we're all the same, aren't we?
Yeah.
Is that because we hide behind the brand, or we don't push ourselves out as a personal brand?
You hide behind the brand for certain. And I think a lot of that is enforced on agents with some of the corporates. You know, the directive from above is that you do what you're told. But the independent agents, I think, have a great opportunity of doing the work and getting the visibility, and they don't do it.
Is this people by people thing?
Sure, it's human to human.
So what are you saying, that really the valuation should start a year or 2 years before they need the valuation to build up the personal brand?
The connection, if you like, the relationship. I mean, I'm all into relationship marketing, relationship distribution. The connection should start as soon as possible, but certainly with people who don't even want to sell their home, no intention of selling their home. I mean, it's not easy to build a brand, a personal brand, and to build an audience. But once you've got that, then people will anticipate what you're going to say. They will look forward to actually hearing from you, as opposed to, oh, it's my bloody estate agent again.
It's what we both follow him, Seth Godin, you know, anticipated marketing material that people look forward to receiving, that they would miss
if it wasn't there.
If it wasn't there.
Yeah.
So what sort of things do you think estate agents and letting agents should do to create that anticipated communication?
It's obviously got to be interesting, but I think it's got to be episodic to start with, and interactive.
So what do you mean by episodic in terms of drip, drip, drip?
That to an extent, but if you look at the most popular TV programs on TV at the moment, EastEnders, Coronation Street, etc., there's a flow from one episode to the next, from one episode to the next.
So they're not standalone, there's like a little, an ongoing story, a loop.
You look at an estate agent, if they're putting content out on social media or wherever, it's they talk about this, they talk about that, they talk about the other, instead of going, okay, we're going to talk about this, and then next week we're going to talk about how that impacts and make the whole thing episodic, so, and put some intrigue into it, so it's, you know, it's required, it's demanded, you know, attention.
So what sort of subjects would you be talking about? Would you be talking about how good the agency is, how many houses they've sold, how brilliant they are, how awesome their service is, how they're the best agent, how they've got the most, biggest pie on Rightmove?
What?
Because that's interesting to estate agents. So it must be to homeowners and landlords.
Yeah, you're being facetious, Christopher.
I know.
What causes you the most emotion in your life?
The things that are of great interest to me.
Which are?
Well, myself, obviously, firstly myself.
Yeah.
My immediate family.
Yeah.
Things that interest me. So I'm a homeowner, I'm interested in my own home. Yeah. I'm interested in the things that my interests, my hobbies, my passions.
Yeah.
And after that, I couldn't give a flying monkeys about anything else.
There's your content to start with. So people know about you. They know about you. They know about your family. They know about your hobbies. You know, it's the Christopher Watkin personal brand.
But that's nothing to do with my estate agency.
It doesn't have to be anything to do with your estate agency. Why should it be anything to do with your estate agency?
Because we're estate agents, and that's what our job is, to sell houses and get more valuations.
But I'm not interested in you. I'm not interested in your service per se. I'm interested in you as a person, whether I can trust you, whether I can believe in your character. I'm not interested in your competence to start with.
And do you think that's where agents go wrong?
Absolutely.
They,
yeah. I mean, let me give you an example. There's an estate agent that we both know, John Savage. Now, I talked to John on one of my first podcasts, and he told me a couple of stories. One that stood out was there was a repossession that he was handling, and he knew where the house was, and he went and knocked on the guy's door, and he said, three or four times it took him to actually get the guy to answer the door. He said, is the house being repossessed? And they had a conversation. John got down to him and said, you know, how can I help? What do you need? And the guy said, I've lost my job. I need a job. John got him a job. Now that tells me more about John than anything that he could tell me as an estate agent. I couldn't care less what his KPIs are. Now, I would, in a heartbeat, give John the job in Notting Hill or Ladbroke Grove, as opposed to any agent we care to name.
If you were John, how would you get that story out? Because how many times have we seen someone saying, I've helped this person, look how brilliant I am?
It's how you tell that story. I mean, John was just saying it as an aside. I mean, he told another story of you know, a woman who wanted to view this particular place, and he took it somewhere else, and you know, she fell in love with the place because John knew more about what she actually needed rather than what she actually wanted. And that, if you like, storytelling culture, it tells you more about it. It puts the emotion into the bland and boring estate agency business.
Interesting you use the word emotion. Why is that so important?
Everyone's got emotions, and whether you, you know, believe it or not, you know, the world revolves around emotion. If you tell a story and the story has no emotion in it, no one's going to listen to it, no one's going to feel anything. Once you start feeling things, you connect with people. You know, if someone does a kind deed, that's the emotion. I mean, one of my favorite videos is on a website called values.com, and it's a 30-second video, and it's this I mean, they do it on all the different values in life, but this one was particularly on encouragement. And so a couple going to a piano concert, and they're sitting down in the stalls, and they're going, "Where's Tommy?" That's their son. "Where's Tommy?" "I don't know, I thought he was with you." And Tommy's gone around the back of the stage, he's on the piano playing Chopsticks. And the curtain opens up, and the concert pianist comes on and goes, "Don't stop." So he starts playing with him. And it's a 30-second video, and it's just, you know, so much emotion in the whole thing. And you think, well, you know, that's really how people connect emotionally.
Well, they do say that, and there's a Harvard guy in America that proved this, a professor, that 95% of buying decisions are based using emotion.
Sure.
And then we use logic as humans to back that decision up.
Absolutely.
Hence, it comes back down to the you said at the start of this video, which was, we're not good enough on the sofa because people don't like us.
That's right, yeah. I mean, the converse of that is that, you know, the Wolf of Wall Street, I forget his name off the top of my head, but he was in the film, has now written a book, and his opening page is, "I can sell snow to Eskimos, coal to Newcastle, etc., etc." He goes down the first page, and he's lost me altogether, and I've got no interest whatsoever.
Because it's talking about him. Well, we've all been to parties where someone talks about themselves all night, and we never think of those people. So really, what you're saying is, you've always got to get the valuation 1 or 2 years before the valuation is asked for, so we can build up the relationship, the emotional tie-in, by creating a story that's of interest and relevant to the viewer, not ourselves, not talk about ourselves. That sounds like awfully hard work, Chris, I want it now. I want it now, but that is there another choice?
These days, and want it now, but you know, that's not going to get them the business.
No. Do you think playing the long game is the winning game? It's the only game.
It's the only game. I mean, instant gratification, you've seen that in the likes of Emove and Purple Bricks, you know, they throw their money at it and they get some of the results. I think eventually they're all going to be found out.
Maybe we could talk about that in the next video.
Sure.
Lovely.